The Lord be with you.
With your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await the master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's a great little gospel we have here. It's, we're in the middle of Luke's gospel, and there doesn't seem to be too much movement except for the urgency of Jesus, the urgency of his call. And here we see this, this call to vigilance, and I think taken in the context of the whole of Luke's gospel, we're looking forward to a time of conflagration. I mean, it's there's a time of how do I say? Jesus' sense that, and of course he's right. Okay, so just in a literary, in a narrative sense here. Okay, Jesus' sense that there's a coming confrontation, there's a coming conflagration, whereby the path that his contemporaries are walking will lead them into destruction. And there are kind of, at least from this point, there are future events that, I don't know, that make sense of Jesus' urgent call and his sense that, okay, the whole thing's coming crashing down on your heads, and he's issuing and reissuing, right, the call, the invitation. There's an exhortation to go God's way of peace and to leave their own way around, their own way behind, to repent and go God's way, lest, you know, this tragedy befall them. And some of this is okay, yeah, it comes to a head in the cross, and then we look forward again to 70 AD with the fall of Jerusalem, and there's a lot going on in this passage. There's a lot that I think perhaps by a better expositor, there's more to be said about this passage. But I want to focus in on this sense of being vigilant. Yeah, because the call to be vigilant is the call. It's the day in, day out reality of the Christian is to be vigilant, right? To be aware, to be awake. And if we think of the time of our Lord's visitation, right? Our Lord's visitation is for us every moment of every day. I mean, every moment of every day is waiting to be sanctified. Every moment of every day yearns for the grace of God. Every moment of every day is crying out to be filled with the love of God, to assume God's purposes, right, to advance his plan and the rest. And it's ours as Christians to be the locus, to be the place where this happens, where heaven infiltrates the earth, right, where heaven comes to earth. We are supposed to be that place, and the life of heaven is meant to come and dwell in us and work through us into the world, so that the coming together, the wedding feast of heaven and earth, can be achieved in and through Christ's body, the church. And that's each and every one of us as members of his body. So the vigilance is to be aware, to be alert, to be alive, to be awake to the opportunities that are in front of us to bring heaven to earth. And so, and then every moment of our life has to have, we have to have, as we approach every moment of our life, we have to have an awareness to the to what what charity can accomplish, but how we can channel the life of heaven for earth, and that is the lifeblood of the coming kingdom of God is love. So how can I then bring God's love to life here and now. That's the particular vigilance that we have to have. You know, and I say it against the backdrop of social media prophecy and this kind of thing. Like everybody's got some. I get it like every other day. So you'll excuse me for trying to do a kind of clearinghouse here. Like, don't bring this stuff to me. It's just like every other day there's a new prophecy about. Okay, well, oh, so is the end of the world now? Is it now going to happen? I said, well, Jesus didn't know what it was. So, I mean, I'm not going to assume that I know what Jesus didn't know. But, you know, is it the end of the world? Is this? And there's all this kind of end of times prophecy and the rest. And in that, there's a heightened vigilance, right? Even to the point of neurosis. That's not from Jesus, by the way. Jesus is not driving you to neurosis. But there's a vigilance that is properly Christian. I mean, a Christian vigilance is always hopeful. It has to be. If it's not hopeful, then it's not Christian. Yeah, I mean, and I say this when I'm wearing red today for one of my main men, right, for Isaac Jogues. It's like the vigilance that he had, and I don't know if we can even imagine it, right? Isaac Jogues comes over to America's mission to the Iroquois and Huron tribes. You know, he has his fingers chewed off so that he can't celebrate Mass. He goes back to Europe, gets a dispensation from the Pope to be able to celebrate Mass without his canonical digits, right? The digits that the fingers that he has to have to say Mass. He gets a dispensation from that so that he can celebrate the Mass. And then he comes back to America. His particular vigilance, right? His sense of the fact that charity is driving him to this particular mission field at this particular time cannot be shaken. And he doesn't do it as like a, I got to go back to America. That's not it. He's eager. He's hopeful. He's hopeful for the tribes. He's hopeful for the early nation, right? He's there. He's just going. He's just doing. And this is charity. This is love. In fact, I think Pope Urban said something to the effect of, you know, how shameful it would be to deny the blood of Christ to a martyr of Christ, who was living as a martyr. I mean, he was alive as a martyr, right? When he came back to France, his brothers didn't. I mean, the Jesuit brothers didn't recognize him. They asked him about. They said, Have you run into Isaac Jogues? You know, like, he said, that's me. He was so badly emaciated, right? He didn't look himself. But the vigilance that he had is the vigilance that we're to have as well. The opportunity for charity and where charity is driving us and what the demands of charity are making on us and how eager he was and how he rejoiced as well, how he rejoiced in the suffering that he endured for the sake of charity. That's ours too. But we've got to be bold enough in our charity to get out there and experience some suffering. We have to have charity drive us wherever it is we need to be. And when I say charity, the breath of God, right? The life of God has to drive us into where he wants us to be so that we can bring his love to life there.